We are back on the afternoon show, Atiba Buchanan, Darlene Hill, 525. And, you know, Darlene, we've been
waiting. That means we got about 35 minutes left to the show.
That's what it means for the week.
Yes. It's been a great week, too.
So, all week long, that said, I have been waiting for this conversation. We have two wonderful in-studio guests. Because this is different. We just don't see people in our community in these types of positions and roles. And I just find it fascinating. I know this is going to be a great conversation that you guys will love as well. In studio, we have with us Mr. Darius Hillman. He is the
Darius.
We just talked about this.
It's spelled D-A-R-I-O-U-S. We just talked about it.
And I gave you the long, I gave you the sign for a reason. I did it.
So it turns out I'm Theo.
Okay. Oh, how about that?
Right?
That's the best call.
He got C's. In high school, huh?
Turns out. So, again, Darius Hillman, he is did I say it right?
Hillman.
I'm messing up completely. Hillman. He is, like the school. Hillman. He is the executive director of the fictitious school.
Yes, Hillman.
Of CAN TV. And has totally changed the content and mission of the station. We want to thank you so much for joining us as well. Darlene, would you like to introduce our other guest?
Come step up to the mic. I'm looking for my notes right now.
Oh, you are? I didn't know. I'm sorry. Well, I'll tell you what.
My name is Jason Weisner.
And what do you do, Jason?
I work with CAN TV on I'm a consultant for CAN TV.
All right, excellent.
Create
excellent
content. Build the shows.
Excellent. So tell us.
So both of them equally as important.
Equally as important.
No, thank you so much, Jason. That is absolutely untrue. No, Darlene.
He said not today.
So Darius, then why don't we start off by you telling us how you guys work together and you collab on projects like Marginalized.
Darlene, that's a fantastic question. Thank you for asking. I met gentleman here. Right. She's great at this. I met this girl when I was at Youth Guidance with a program called Becoming a Man. And we worked together there. There was something about his sensibilities. It's for those who can see him, he is Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're
welcome.
Okay, you're welcome. But even the conversations back then, I've always said this, representation matters, but you need as many people under the tent, he, she, or they who will come.
Correct,
And very quickly with Jason, even 12 years ago, and I've only been in Chicago 14 years, there was something about him there, about that program, Becoming a Man, which is a violence prevention program, and understanding not a desire to impose his privileged views, but a desire to listen and be a part. You can tell, and I said, Jason, I've had these conversations a lot. You can tell when someone who is white, I like to name things, walks into a room of people who are black and brown, and you can get a vibe within 5 minutes if they are there to listen and understand and make room and want to be a part of the conversation, mm-hmm. or if they're waiting for their turn to talk.
Yes.
Jason has always been that type where when I introduce him the first time, I'm like, he's good peeps. He's good people. And the work we've done together, so the conversations we've had over 12 years, and I think part of the work we all have to do, Jason and I realize we can have those conversations. They're difficult. They're uneasy. But a trust has come over the 12 years of being in the trenches, going through the pandemic, watching him change from, hate to say it, Jason, a conservative radio-loving person when I first met him. Just loved conservative radio. But we got to give ourselves room to evolve.
I love the look on Jason's face while you're talking about this, because while he talks about Jason, you changing, you've seen him change because you guys have created a safe space. Because you guys have created, a safe space to have some of the sensitive conversations. Mm-hmm. I just looked down at the clock. We got to toss it to a commercial break. But we will be. Or do we have to toss it to
minutes.
We'll give you a chance.
Let the man say something.
You've seen him change, and you've created a safe space,
go ahead,
correct?
Jason. It's a safe, brave space. Go ahead. Tell
He can say friend. Something. Tiger Woods' cousin. He can say something.
Come on.
Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, Atiba is my people.
Come on, Jason.
Darius is a wonderful human being. We've worked together for like 12 years, but it's interesting because we don't even have to talk, and when we work together creatively, all we do, I just walk into the room, and we just kind of nod at each other, and we do our business. Mm-hmm. We understand when we need to make a project better, mm-hmm. or make it less strong, more empathetic, whatever. And it's just an understanding between Darius and I, and I love that. And it's just, so it's, we've worked together on many projects, and now we work together at CAN TV.
Excellent, excellent. So what we're going to do, we are going to take that break. When we come back, though, what I want you to describe for the audience is just really an overview of CAN TV, how people perceived it back in the day versus where it is now versus where it is you're trying to take it.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to take this real quick break, check in with Robin to find out what's in the news, and we'll be right back.
Everybody in the studio singing that one.
Man, that's the cut. And again, I'm not in the house music, but I like that song.
Nah, we like, because we like Colonel Abrams.
Yeah, we do.
That's
we
it.
Do. So you're listening to The Afternoon Show, 538 at Tiba Buchanan, Darlene Hill. And I'm not going to mess up the names again, Darlene, so I'm going to let you tell them.
No, I got Jason on my left, and I got Darius right here on my right. And we're talking about this series.
I did have a question right before we go on the break.
Okay.
So I was asking you to recap for the listeners. Yeah. Again, the initial impressions of CAN TV, where it was versus where it is versus where it's going.
Great question. CAN TV, today, as I said to you both, today is my 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch the transformation in just the past 12 months, it's an incredible, important benchmark for me. CAN TV will be 40 years old April 25th.
Happy anniversary.
Happy to both of us.
Yes.
And here's what I say to folks. As different as we are, at our core, we're not. When we were established, this happened when cable moves into markets, community access stations like CAN TV around the country, including my hometown of Detroit. Part of that taking over, which is public airspace, and charging for it, you had to make sure there were a certain number of spaces on that cable network that were still free, public, what they call this public education government. CAN TV became that in Chicago in 1983. So we're five stations, four of them are entertainment, one is information. So it really was about ensuring that free speech access, open space, unfettered, unfiltered, was available to the community in which that station did business. What's different, or what the evolution is that the mission's not changed, but how we achieve it has to. Because the best way to describe it, when I came to the organization a year ago, I best described our website. Great stuff. We've got great folks. Gator Bradley does a hotline show. LaDonna Tittle does her cooking show.
Tittle in the middle.
Tittle in the middle. And I keep saying to folks, it's not an either or, but in order for us to see our next 40 years, it has to be an evolution, because cable funding that funded the organization most of its 40 years of 100%, that's dropped 30% in just the last 6 years.
Okay.
So as the folks cable, as the cable industry has to adjust and change, so do we. So a year ago when I joined the organization as executive director, I couldn't watch our stations because the co-op I live in Chicago does not have an agreement with cable.
Mm-hmm.
So the executive director, so that hits me. If I can't see the brilliance of the work happening, how many other folks, specifically South and West Side, can't see the brilliance of the work because they either can't afford to see the brilliance of the work? So we're undermining. The other thing, when I go to our website, I would look at our website a year ago and go, I'm from nonprofit. I worked at Urban League. Chicago State Foundation is where I came from. There's the difference between an internal-facing nonprofit that's gotten all of their funding from one source and an external-facing nonprofit that is leaning towards servant leadership and finds their audience where they are. So we had to become, while we were doing great things, we had to become external-facing and go, where are our audiences? Where are they getting their information, and how do we meet them? So in just the past 12 months, we went from being only on broadcast to streaming 24/7 all of our stations on our new CanTV.org, but also on Roku, Fire Stick, and our election special March 1st, where we are bringing the community together and people who look like me and like you who don't, and giving more than 2 minutes for a soundbite, but real conversations. Folks who have been in the community, Al's name? Gosh, Al's going to kill me. Kendall. And folks who have been a part of our community, more than 2 second sound bites. Because part of what community access's power was when I grew up in Detroit, you know this, Darlene, I would watch Homie Young just cuss out city council. I was like, ooh, curse words.
Right, right.
Fabulous. Like, but then it was also the original YouTube.
Right. That was the original real TV.
Come on.
Right, reality TV.
But it also was where we learned storytelling, which is local. It's also where we learned how to disagree without being disagreeable. It's also how we learn to tell our own stories, because as long as the hunter is telling the story of the jungle, it's never going to be told from the lion's point of view. So all of those things at our core is what we were doing, but we needed to find our audiences instead of saying they have to meet us. When you're external facing, our job, our privilege is to go meet that audience.
Yeah, let's talk about you guys telling your story. Okay. Jason, you guys co-produced a project called The Marginalized. How did you guys come up with this and why?
Oh, you're asking me that question.
Because we're running out of time, and I want to be able to get both of you in, and I want... I'm an old school reporter talking sound bites.
Yeah, we started doing signature programs at CanTV, and that evolved to documentaries. And Darius and I got together, and we're like, what do we want to tell? What stories do we want to tell? And this idea came up of doing a documentary called Working While Black. And it's just telling the stories, getting people in the studio. These are experts that came in the studio and just telling us their experiences while working. And the whole effect of DEI on that, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Absolutely.
And
working really is a proxy for living while black. That's what we ultimately found out. And what's interesting is Jason and I have talked about these sorts of things. This is part of a conversation we had a few years ago when Jason and I, for my last organization, Chicago State Foundation, we were filming something for our gala. And the CEO, who we shall not name, said to me as we were filming, still in the pandemic, hey, can I ask you a question?
You already know.
And I went, okay. And Jason was sitting there with his camera, and he said, why are they setting their stuff on fire? And I said, and he said, I feel like I can ask you. And I said, in my spirit, I went, oh, I'm passable again. I went, but let's go for it, because I'm in the movie.
Right, right.
And he asked, I said, well, here's the thing you have to remember. You just put the accent in the wrong place. You said what's happening and murdering people is wrong, but they shouldn't be. What you should be saying, they shouldn't be setting stuff on fire, but what is happening to them is absolutely wrong. I said, you see where the accent's in the wrong place?
Right.
The other thing you have to think about, when you cause trauma for people and pain, and they say, please stop causing me pain, you do not get to determine how they react.
Absolutely.
To the trauma. But outside the building, Jason and I had a conversation, and Jason looked at me and he went, you know what? You explained it to me, and I understood we all have a role. Jason outside that building on Wacker Street said, you explained this in the way, though, that makes me not kind of flinch.
Right, right.
Because I could have said to that man, what I'm not going to do, but you know.
And that's when the conversation, because like we said earlier, it's about having that conversation in a safe space.
Absolutely.
And both sides being heard.
Absolutely.
You know, because if you had taken it up
and went
on them.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I would have felt good for a minute, but then we literally...
But he would not have heard you.
There you go. And then he, Jason, that man I may or may never get, but Jason...
Understood.
Is understanding.
Yeah.
And Jason was a different person than I met 12 years ago. I'm a different person. So it's not that gentleman I'm necessarily looking to hope for. It's Jason.
Understood. Yeah. Let me ask you this. I want to get back to Marginalized. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about the documentary and what are the major takeaways from it?
We were very purposeful about not being sensational for the sake of sensational.
Mm-hmm.
It really is bringing experts together. So we talk about experts from the DEI space, experts, the former chief global diversity officer for Groupon, the current chief diversity officer for Wintrust, the current chief diversity officer for Thresholds, an educator expert in marketing and strategy, a black leader, Chris Powell, who runs Telmetrics, which is an employment.
But you also talk to just laymen.
The average person out there. What's interesting. They became very average folks very immediately, and that's what is so telling about this. When you have these leaders, and we take that just beneath that surface, anybody who looks like the three of us,
yeah,
just beneath that surface, it's the percolation of every day. And Jason called me when we looked at the first, and he helped create this. He went, you all do this every day. I'm like, every single day. Wrong step. What do we say? How do we say it? And we're in the right space. So what you find is you're talking to people, whether it's a brother and sister who's working at Discover, who are talking about their experience, or the CEO, or Dr. Inger Burnett over at Northwestern, the Feinberg School of Medicine. Under the surface, we are all unsafe. We all feel fear. We all are making decisions every day. We are all unlearning. We are all, there's a story that is told during the town hall where Yemi talks about the wet mice. They literally, proxy them for black folks, they were conditioned to not go after something. And by the time they replaced the wet mice with other mice, those mice never got the preventative, but they had trained every mice that comes in. So even those of us who are white folk like Jason and white adjacent, the caste system that binds all of our places, where you'll have sometimes black folks going, hey, so they're self-correcting. So the system is in place that we are all a part of.
Right.
And that precedes all of us. So when you talk about redlining, you go all the way back to the Atlantic, mid-Atlantic slave trade, 600 plus years, the history of this country. When you have black folks, the elders, we're dealing with it right now with the election. You're hearing folks suggest, well, those are the people trying to prove their worth to the ruling class. That's why they endorse who they endorse. Believe it or don't believe it, there is so much inherent. I hear people say all the time, boy, they're an autopilot. I tell people, oh, we don't need the help of outside folks. You all have put so much trauma on us that we have to unlearn. And right. I think the conversation you just even had about what's happening in Inglewood, we have to take the first step, but then we've got to unlearn behaviors. That means we have to support. We have to push each other. We have to make room for more than one of us at the table. And I think that's what the marginalized really takes, an unblemished, unfiltered, and unjudgmental view. We lay out facts, and then we have humans talk about their experiences.
Hold that thought. We do have to take a real quick break. When we come back, we want to let people know how they can watch Marginalized and learn more about CAN TV. But you guys have been fantastic. We'll be right back. So we are speaking again to CAN TV. And Jason, right before we had gone, well, during the break, I actually had developed this question I want to ask you. We're talking about the documentary Marginalized, which highlights some of the struggles that African-Americans go through in the workplace. Mm-hmm. What should our Caucasian brothers and sisters take away from this series?
Say,
not that you speak for all white people.
Well, I definitely understand that. But go back just 2 or 3 years. I had a conversation with Darius. I remember, know exactly where I was. We're at Chicago State. And he just told me. He told me what he goes through every day. And that just stuck in my head. And that's what I wanted people to understand is you just don't wake up in the morning and go about your day. That's what I do every day. But that's not what African Americans, they don't have the same privileges that we do. Mm. So I wanted to present this in a way that I guess white folks would understand.
Yeah.
But in a very empathetic way,
compassionate
way.
And not feel like they're being attacked.
Exactly. There's a lot of facts that support all what we show in here. But these are just human stories. Mm-hmm. Anybody can relate to this.
And what do you want viewers to take away? Black, white?
You know, I want black. I'm going to focus on black, our black folk. We have an accountability to ourselves and each other to be very intentional about unlearning some things, about really allowing ourselves, insisting for ourselves that we shake off respectability politics. And I think each of us, black folks, we are going to have to make decisions. What are we, because I'm not looking for anybody else to save us, what are we willing to sacrifice, to risk, not just for ourselves, but for those of us on the South and West Side who you represent, Darlene, Atifa, who you represent, what are we willing to truly sacrifice in order to move this forward? Because otherwise, we are just going to be rinsing and repeating.
So where can people catch this documentary on CAN TV?
It is going to re-air Saturday night on CAN TV 19 at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock is the documentary, which is only 1 hour, mm-hmm. and then a community town hall conversation will directly follow. You can catch us on CanTV 19 if you got cable here in Chicago, or Chicago and beyond on CanTV.org or the all-new CanTV Plus app. So we want people to be a part of this conversation.
And this is just part one.
Just part one.
And when is part two? Are you working on part two now as co-producers?
Let me tell you what happened. We started thinking we were going to have one. Mm-hmm. Part two began filming itself simultaneously.
Oh, wow.
So it's coming April 27th. After we sat and watched it, we stayed until about 2 in the morning, mm-hmm. both as a white man, as a black gay man, mm-hmm. having a conversation because only we had gone through this together. So what we're finding is that the community, we're having visceral reactions to this, and we're creating space for us to feel what we're feeling and talk to each other about it.
And it's amazing we talked about. I mean, I watched a clip of it that one of your producers sent over, and we talk about things like this.
Yes.
Black folks have conversation
table.
All the time.
It's
absolutely.
Kitchen table conversation.
At the beauty shop, under the dryer, all that good stuff. But when you see it like that, it's like, I see you, I am seen, because what you go through is the same thing that I go through.
Yes, yes.
We just...
Yeah, and what do we do about it with our collective power? If we can all look each other in the eye and not run from it, because I think we're all feeling everybody in
there. It was trauma, too.
It's trauma every day. It's exhausting.
We want to thank you both for appearing, Jason and Darius, and really the work that you're doing at CanTV. I definitely can't wait to see the documentary, and I hope our listeners do as well. Because this helps us bridge the gap between our shared humanity. Mm. And that's ultimately what it's all about. So thank you guys so much, Darlene.
Well,
it has been a wonderful...
If people want more information, where can they go?
CanTV.org. We are a community. This is the community's house.
Are people still cussing on CanTV?
I did just last week. They sure are. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. First Amendment, yes, we are.
We gotta have you back.
Okay. You all are part of this. You're important.
Thank
this
you, community. Jason. You too.
Thank you.
Darlene, it has been wonderful with you this week.
Thank you.
Can't wait to do it again next week.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Be kind. Be safe. We love you.